Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
All right, welcome to Speak for Yourself. We'll tell you why LeBron might be in for a rude awakening this offseason, but we begin today with the NBA playoffs. Russell Westbrook, the human stat sheet, short-circuited again last night. At the age of 30 and 11 years into his NBA career, Westbrook has yet to learn the art of playing hard and smart. He just goes hard. And it now looks like, for the third year in a row, that it won't be good enough to get the OKC Thunder out of the first round of the playoffs. Damian Lillard and the Portland Trail Blazers pounded the Thunder by 20 points last night, taking a 2-0 lead in their best-of-seven series. The human stat sheet finished one rebound short of a triple-double, but he also had six turnovers and a plus-minus of minus 27. He missed 15 of 20 shots he took, and he was a liability on defense. Lillard embarrassed fantasy basketball's favorite player. Westbrook vowed to play better next game.
Start with myself. I got to play better. And tonight, the loss, I'm going to take full responsibility of tonight because the way I played was unacceptable, and I'm going to be better. So I'm not worried one bit. My job is to make sure I continue to come out and, will and lead our guys and make sure we have a chance to win the game.
Yeah, that's wonderful sentiment, but I've lost faith in Westbrook's ability to evolve into a consistent winner. In the aftermath of Kevin Durant spurning Westbrook and the Thunder, Westbrook, it seems, came up with quite the gimmick to deflect from the obvious sting of Durant's rejection, triple-doubles. We all fell for it. We gave Westbrook the MVP, and we chastised Durant for being soft. How can you criticize a player who puts up a triple-double every night? How can you criticize a player who plays so hard every night in a load management league? Well, now it's not so hard. The triple-doubles aren't as valuable as we once thought, particularly in the postseason. I still love the fact that Russell plays hard, but at the age of 30, I desperately want him to play smart. It's not happening. The chip on his shoulder and his relentless effort don't mask his insecure and immature style of play. They do the opposite. They accentuate his insecurity, foolishness, and petulance. The evidence is everywhere. He's a 29% three-point shooter who insists on shooting threes. He's a natural off-ball slasher who insists on playing point guard. Catch him on tape threatening to do violence to male and female fans, and he'll claim racist chants made him do it. If a reporter repeatedly asks him questions he doesn't like, he avoids acknowledging the reporter. The human stat sheet is a big spoiled baby refusing to grow up. I defended him for 2 years after Durant bolted. I'm done. I feel bad for Paul George, Steven Adams, and the rest of the Thunder. Westbrook is more gimmick than winner. All right, joining the desk now.
You got that fan?
I'm going to need it, too.
Where that fan at, man?
Yahoo Sports NBA insider Chris Haynes and Fox Sports NBA analyst Jim Jackson. Marcellus, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
You think Russell Westbrook will ever mature as a player?
You stop believing in him, huh? You done?
I just don't believe he's going to mature.
Are you finished or are you done? That's what I want to know right now because, wow, we're talking about a guy who came off the bench in college, a three-star recruit, who became the NBA MVP, and that's where we want to really put our focus and criticism on a top 10 player, a guy who's averaged a triple-double the last 3 years. This is not a maturity issue. This is a guy who went out there and put a franchise on his back after the departure of another great player in Kevin Durant. This is a guy who is now looking around, and it's time to start calling out role players, but that's not who he is. This is a guy who has Paul George and himself, and even this year, if you say he's immature, why would you defer to Paul George when he was healthy and playing at an MVP level if you're immature, if you're selfish, if you're not ready to win? He's trying to win at all costs, but in today's NBA, as we're sitting next to a guy who covers a team with four, five all-stars, sometimes you just ain't got enough. I love Russell Westbrook in terms of his moxie, his tenacity, the way he approaches the game. Could he be a better player? I'm sure he could get higher in the top 10 rankings. But there are 450 dudes in the NBA, man. And there's 440 dudes out there who need to do a lot more to even catch up to one Westbrook to now try to get in that rarefied air and saying he needs to be a perfect player. I like him the way he is. Address the situations around him, coaching included, and maybe you'll get more results.
Got to mature.
Yeah, he's got to mature. I don't know what. I don't know why.
In what way?
He started rambling about just where he ranks it as far as the grand scheme of the players. We're talking about how can we get him to a level to where he's the leader of a championship contending team. Because look, right now we can talk about the triple number. We can talk about all the stats piling up, but I need to see composure from him. I need to see him making winning plays down the stretch. I need to see him not losing it when he gets fouled and going bumping somebody, getting a technical in the crucial parts of the game. Mm. I need him to allow for if the three ball is not working, which it has been working all year.
No.
Get to that hole. Mm-hmm. We have to understand that everybody's not going to be able to shoot the three. Just because the league is ventured off into everybody shooting 30-footers, that's not Westbrook. He needs to shoot 5-footers.
That wasn't Kobe either. I get it. A lot of people can't shoot the three.
And so till he gets to that level where he's mature, and I think really in order for OKC to reach their success, look, I'm not putting it all on OKC, on Russ, I mean. But in order for them to reach their full potential, we're talking about it right now. I'm not putting it all on.
I bet not.
But in order for them to reach their full potential, I think Wes has to let go of a lot of the responsibilities that he wants, like trying to get the assists.
He did that this year.
Not this year.
Y'all stop. Y'all don't like the evidence. Okay,
no,
go.
But I think it's twofold because I go back to when Kevin Durant was there. They're up 3-1, but it's game 7. They're killing Golden State with the side pick and roll. Killing them with Cantor, killing them with Adams. You know what? They go away from it and go one-on-one. At that time, Scottie Brooks was a coach. They allowed that to happen. So guess what? You end up losing the game. If you don't correct the mistakes early in the season and have more discipline as a team, it comes back to bite you in the playoffs, okay? It comes back. Because now it's magnified with the teams that you play because they're going to take stuff away. My thing is twofold. One, Westbrook is who he is. He's not going to change. Mm-hmm. So what you have to do is bring in a dynamic that's going to surround him with the right kind of people, which he has now. But you have to have more discipline on the offensive end to understand what kind of team you have. Not a three-point shooting team. So why go out there trying to be a three-point shooting team? You can pound the ball and still get things done, be a better defensive team. So I'm spreading the blame on everybody.
Yeah.
I'm spreading the blame on everybody across the board in regard to that.
When you lose, of course there's blame.
No, but it's not the losing, Jason. To me, it's the lack of discipline and understanding who they are as a team from the beginning.
I would agree, but everything starts with your highest paid, most important franchise player. You got to get him on board first.
But that got to come from upstairs.
No, I get it. But
that's where it starts.
I get it. But, Jim, the thing that's different in this league, because, Jim, I'm old enough to remember, and everybody here is old enough to remember, these same conversations went on about Michael Jordan in Chicago in terms of him having to change his style of play and being just a volume scorer. That wasn't good enough.
And what did they do? They also changed the coaching, and then that all of a sudden led to championship. Instantly, all the other selfish talk.
That's my point. When they got Jackson in,
that helped
Michael mature into a different player. Until you solve that problem where that man, Russell Westbrook, respects the man on the bench, he's not going to change.
Let me ask you this, though. Honest to goodness.
Okay.
I mean, we give Phil a lot of credit, and he obviously deserves it. But Michael Jordan wasn't making $30 million a year like players are today. They're much harder to raise.
But it's all relative, Michael, from a persona perspective, was still Michael Jordan. I don't care how much money it was. You couldn't.
Before championships, everybody in the league.
But he was still the face of the league.
I get it.
Oh, yeah. Michael Jordan, at that time, even when Detroit was winning, it was still about Mike in the league.
The league was about Magic and Larry.
They were on the back end. When the Pistons won it in 90-91, this Magic and Larry weren't in that.
And they even passed the torch in conversation. We can't do anything about him.
And you say this. Let me say this. Russell needs someone he respects. Kobe respected Phil, okay? Even LeBron respected Pat Riley to change some things. Michael respected Phil.
So this is a coaching issue.
Yes.
Right?
Well, can we
hold on? I'm talking about in regards to his maturity.
As far as maturity, okay. Yes. Well, let's talk about this maturity, Jim.
But both coaches allow them to get away with everything, bro.
I understand. Any stats over here? I can't. Well, I'm just gonna say it on top of my head. The coach ain't causing him to shoot 5 for 20.
No, do you think if he was playing for Pat Riley, he'd be doing that? Not at all. Not at all. Russell Westbrook. If he was playing for Pop, that wouldn't happen. If he was playing for Jeff Van Gundy, it wouldn't happen.
But he's not. Who's in the wrong?
Hold up, but that's my point. That's what you're missing. If he don't have somebody he can respect on the bench, he's going to do what he wants to do.
Jimmy, let me say this. We're talking about a subjective conversation right now, and we're going to have our opinions. Let me give y'all some facts, first of all. Because this ain't the Oprah Winfrey
show. Facts.
No, this is fact. Because y'all acting like they just hand out championships to great players. That's not how the game goes since the modern NBA started. Let's go 1980, last 40 years. Uh-huh. You know how many franchises won a championship?
8.
11. You know, since Russell been in the league, how many have won in his 11 years? 6. How many star, next level Russell?
I get.
So stop acting like this. He has to lead a championship team, or he's not great, or he's not mature.
No, I think, honest to goodness, today where we're starting at is just him getting out of the first round. Because this will be the third straight year.
That's all we're talking about.
Get out of the first round.
That's not enough to ask.
I don't care if he was winning championships or not winning championships. His game needs to mature. He's not a three-point shooter. He continues to take three-point shots. He's not a point guard. And again, I
agree with that.
I love this thing of like, let's blame it if the coach.
It's a player-driven league.
Listen, I've been in those rooms when I've seen people change. I've been in those rooms. You think Kobe was like that under Dale Harris?
I'm not saying that.
Mm. Well, huh?
But what you're saying, but what you both...
He went for 35 once he left. It's a combination. I'm not excusing Russ. To me, Russ, his emotions, he allows his emotions to make irrational decisions that hurt the team.
Okay.
But that goes back to not being corrected early
and
on.
And that's fine.
That's my point.
I agree with you. But both of what you both are saying as well is that in order for Russ to mature and make the right plays, he has to have a coach he respects. Either you want to win and do the right thing,
if it was that simple, he would do it.
And don't do that, because then go to State.
That's why you got mentors and guys that guide you.
Y'all
like
didn't
that.
Win it all. Look,
what's
I love
y'all. I ain't got no ring. I got no ring.
You won one. Golden State was there, climbing, getting there, but they even lost in the first round to the Clippers. That Golden State team before KD, that team. And you know what happened?
You been a game or lost a series?
Series.
Oh,
2014.
Oh, you going back then.
Come on, man.
You going back then. I thought you were still relevant.
They've won 3 of the last 4. We're going to go back 4 or 5 years. Yes, we are. And you know what happened?
Uh-huh.
Coaching change. Whatever you want to say. The guys matured. But guess what happened? They blossomed, and you could say, oh, it's in coincidence of the coaching change. We're trying to say it's in correlation.
It's a correlation.
Ain't Russell Brown 30?
Who's his coach?
You're talking about Steph when they were 25 and 20. Yes.
Who were his coaches? And don't act like he hasn't been in the finals before. Let's not do that to him. Like, first of all, we say, oh, you can't get out the first round. Oh, but I've been to the finals. Oh, well, that ain't enough. We keep moving the goalposts.
Should they beat Portland?
They're not a higher seed, so technically, no.
They don't. Portland doesn't have Nurkic. Portland is there.
Should they beat Portland? You act like
In Vegas, they're favored. They're favored to get past Portland in the series.
Yeah.
If they do not, then what? It's all a coach issue?
No, I'm just saying, do they have A-plus coaching? You know that's not true. So therefore,
most of the league doesn't have A-plus coaching.
And that's why most of the league ain't competing for a championship. I'm just saying.
Does Portland have A-plus coaching?
Terry Stotts is good.
Good. Is that A-plus, though? Because now everybody's A-plus. We got this hell built to the same thing.
I didn't say A-plus. I said A-plus. Hold on, tell me. I said a coach he respects. That's a big difference.
Well, Portland ain't
winning. That's a big difference.
Let's be clear. Let's be clear. I mean, because, again, I get that Russ and all of us, unless there's someone to control us, we're incapable of doing
that. That's what it sounds like.
No, that's what it is.
But everybody can't do it the same way you do it.
Let me finish my point. Because I know that's the argument.
Right.
They're all incapable.
All that purple
and
beef
unless,
over there.
Look and unless unless that we find the unicorn coach, they're incapable. They can't self-correct. Isaiah Thomas didn't grow on his own. No, nobody can do it without the perfect coach. That's BS for one.
Oh,
Point two. If Kevin Durant, the second best player in the league, leaves my franchise, and factually, I don't know what percentage of the reason why, but it's some sort of percentage because, man, that dude's out of control. And I can't do what I'm supposed to do because that dude's out of control. If that doesn't cause you some self-reflection on your own, I was playing with Kevin Durant and this dude bounced on me. Russell Westbrook is not incapable of self-reflection and correcting. Now, will he do it? I think not. Because one, anything he does will be excused by some because, oh my God.
By some, by two on this panel right here.
We don't have the
And y'all both wrong, because you know what? It's impossible to blame Westbrook for Durant wanting to leave when it was a great decision, but impossible circumstances. Which franchise is better? Well, Which franchise ran better? Golden State or OKC?
Is there a percentage of the
Which team had success
left?
In front of them or behind them? You got to understand what he was making a decision. Which market is better? Like,
so Durant, his decision had nothing to do with
it. I'm not saying it had nothing to do with it, but to put the blame on him instead of saying, KD, you made a great decision for yourself.
I laid it out. I thought very clearly. There's a certain percentage. I don't know what. We can say it's 20%. We can say it's 5%. We might be, it might be 70%.
But there's a percent,
That was on Russ. That's clear
to do
as
what?
Day.
They went to a finals and then he made a projection and said, you know what? We might
that.
Not
and
get
Kevin
back.
Durant, you know what Kevin Durant said? I want to win championships. I don't want
to go to a better
also,
team.
Also, Kevin Durant, also during that time, also said the organization didn't hold Russ accountable, which is what I'm saying. You're missing my point totally. Everybody's not going to do the same thing that we're going to do. I'm not going to make the decisions you make. Some people may need help to grow. That's why you got life coaches. That's why you got all these people Marcellus. Making money to do it. But hold on, here's my point.
Jimmy.
I'm Jimmy. That's Marcellus over there.
Mad at everybody.
Here's my point. Some people, Lord. Because they've had this long reign, this long line to do whatever they want, that's just who they are.
Leash.
Okay? They had this leash.
So,
and at some point, they may get a revelation later in their career. It's like, oh, I wish I'd have done it 10 years ago.
I'm going to mark you down.
Sometimes you need somebody
Jim,
that
Jim,
you
I'm going to mark you
mark
down,
down
as
bro.
Jim Jackson, he will never mature. Got to, we
you can't
got
do
your
that.
Vote now.
You can't do that.
You just said he's
no. I didn't say he would never mature.
He's been given such a long leash. He's incapable of it, Jim.
I didn't say that.
No, Jason thinks context doesn't matter. Coaching doesn't matter.
I did not say that.
Jim wants to erase that.
You
can write it down what you want, but I didn't say that.
Jason, you always tell me how you matured. You've matured in a different context, in a different situation, with different people and personnel and different ownership. But Russell can't do it. Why? Because it's a physical sport.
Because what? Every excuse in the world will be made for Russell. For me, there are consequences for not maturing.
It is. They're going to lose.
They're going to lose.
That's a consequence.
But again, he's not taking...
Last night he did.
In the grand scheme of things, he's not experiencing the full consequences of losing. Michael Jordan did. Michael Jordan, there wasn't this era of debate shows where everybody made excuses for Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan dealt with the consequences and got ripped and criticized. He was a volume scorer. It wasn't working. He had to adjust. They got Phil Jackson in there. This is Russell's second coach.
But it's the second coach that allows him to do the same thing.
Thank you.
Phil Jackson didn't allow Michael to do the same thing. That's the point.
And y'all ripped, Westbrook when they were winning. Y'all ripped him when they were winning.
So in order to mature, we need somebody else to come show us the light, huh?
Some people do, Chris. Some people do.
What, look, can you please write Marcel's name on there as
well? Oh, yeah, definitely. Right.
Both of them.
Hold up. You got kids?
Four of them.
Are all four the same?
No.
Okay, that's my point. Everybody's not the same.
I understand that.
Your maturity level on one of those kids may not be the same later on.
Jim, has it crossed your mind? You don't have to believe this, but has it crossed your mind that Russ is uncoachable? Is that a possibility?
No. I think Russ is very coachable with the right coach.
Where have we seen it?
Who is
where, 11 years in the NBA.
I think respect Fisdale.
Have you seen that?
No, because
you saw him coaching
hold up,
a pickup?
Because he hasn't had Scottie Brooks wasn't one and Billy Donovan is not. So we haven't seen it in the league.
We saw it at UCLA. Or we saw
Ben Hollins. He was only there a year. Ben Hollins.
Okay. So we haven't seen.
But Ben, he wasn't doing. He was playing his role at UCLA.
I'm just saying it's a possibility that he's uncoached.
Okay, I'll give
you that.
That's
a possibility.
I don't believe
that. And
he's up
there. He's up there.
Take his name off the list.
No, scratch that off right there.
Right there.
Robinhood is an investing app that lets you buy and sell stocks, options, ETFs, and cryptos, all commission-free. They strive to make financial services work for everyone, not just the wealthy. They provide a non-intimidating way for stock market newcomers to invest for the first time with true confidence. It's simple and intuitive, with a clear design of data presented in an easy-to-digest way. What are the values of the Robinhood app, you may ask? The design and ease of use. It has easy to understand charts and market data, so you can place a trade in just 4 taps on your smartphone. Robinhood's web platform also lets you view stock collections and analyst ratings of buy, hold, and sell for every stock. Also, you can learn by doing. Learn how to invest as you build your portfolio. Discover new stocks and track favorite companies with your personalized news feed. You can even set custom notifications for price movement so you never miss the right moment to invest. Robinhood is giving listeners a free stock like Apple, Ford, or Sprint to help build your portfolio. Sign up at speak.robinhood.com. That's speak, S-P-E-A-K, dot Robinhood.com.
All right, Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson, and Chris Haynes are back. It's time for That Dude's Dudes. Marcellus, what you got?
Oh, the bullies on the block. You know, the most immature front court in NBA history. Whitlock and Wiley. Well, let's go to number 3, Scary Terry Rozier. Boston Celtics starting out there in Boston. Late third quarter, 5.6 seconds. Ooh, that's ominous. It might be enough time for Scary Terry to run down that court and hit that tray.
Ohio represent.
Man, I got to see it again. Whoa. Check out the arc on the shot by Rozier. Went over Ohio, the whole state, damn it. Scary Terry's fired up. Oh, and you know what he going to do? Going to scare his way into being number 3. That dude of the week. Now let's go to number 2. Second place in MVP vote.
Freak.
Giannis, Greek freak. Y'all heard that. Like Mike, if I could be like Mike. Moving to Milwaukee. Giannis jumps into the passing lane for the steal and soars in for the one-handed jam.
One damn dribble.
Let's just, you ready for this, Whit? Try and guard that. Nearly leaps from the free throw line. 13.7 feet for the dunk. Ooh, this reminded me of somebody. Like Mike. Which one did it better? Come on, side by side, y'all
Mike.
Judge. Nope. Man, that's in a dunk contest. Which one did it better?
Mike matured.
There we go.
Right, there we go. And the Greek freak, you know who you are. Number 2, That Dude of the Week. Now let's go to number 1. Y'all know what it is. Clipper counterpunch. Ding, ding, ding. Now let me show you how to rattle a defending champ. First, you got to throw some jabs at him. Beverly Steele on Curry for Danilo Dunk. I ain't never seen Steph Curry get ripped. Chris Paul certainly didn't do it, but you know he did. And then you got a bully there, bully. Montrezl Harrell dunking on Draymond. Then your star has to heat up Lou Williams. Hit them boys for 36. And bang, 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 bang. Wet. Oh, 6 man of the year, 3rd time. And then finally, you just got to take what they give you. 30 seconds left. Under that, Clips down 1. Warriors double Lou Will. Oh, y'all messed up. We got rookies on the court. And don't think that they can't show up. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander left open in the paint. Andre Iguodala doesn't know who to guard. SGA going to get the ball. Iggy leaves his man. Oh, leaving Landry Shamet. Wide open for the 3. Go ahead. Richest owner in sports. $44 billion dropped out his pockets. Don't even matter. Don't matter. Let you know it's a 1-1 series. Steve Ballmer, Geek. And y'all, Clippers, number 1, That Dude of the Week.
One. City, can't wait till the ball's gone.
All right, thanks, Marcelo. That was awesome.
Yes.
Time now for a big story. Let's move to LeBron James,
who
is trying to regroup after a disaster of a first season with the Lakers, but might be in for a rude awakening if he thinks things are going to get fixed this offseason. Reportedly, whoever replaces Magic will be crucial to deciding if any other stars come to join LeBron in L.A. because players and agents are very concerned that LeBron is actually running the team. All right, the question here is, do you think this perception will have any effect on their offseason strategy? And I think it will. I think this is probably why Monty Williams, not Ty Lue or Juwan Howard, will get the job. Monty Williams less connected to LeBron.
This is a tough one. this story, it got some legs. A lot of people wasted ink on this story because LeBron's always been the puppeteer, always been calling shots. Even when he was against situations that were more adversarial, whether it's a Pat Riley or even a shrewd businessman in Dan Gilbert, like LeBron still found his ways. So what's gonna be our measuring stick of, oh, these free agents are scared to go to a Lakers team that's ran by LeBron? Because here's a newsflash, it is gonna be ran by LeBron. You think it's gonna be ran by Rob Pelinka? Like, y'all really gonna go that far? So LeBron's gonna have his fingerprints on a lot of the moves going forward. But look at the Lakers in the offseason for the last 10, 20 years. Name the big free agent that they got outside of that guy, LeBron James. I'll wait. No, nobody. So let's not act like the Lakers are an attractive destination for big-time free agents, because they haven't been. Two, LeBron has even said, I'm not the greatest recruiter. Like, LeBron joined forces, and everybody joined forces in Miami. But in
championship mindset this offseason.
Don't you do that activation. All I'm saying is, a lot of times people can put out stuff, and then when you really distill it, they ain't saying nothing. Because the Lakers are not used to getting free agents. LeBron's not used to guys just coming and joining him. So par for the course is for them to be unsuccessful, the team and the individual. But LeBron's running the ship, and I think their strategy is, we're going to hope. We'll see if they get somebody.
LeBron's going to have some say. So I think one of the bigger challenges also, too, is this to Rob Pelinka. As a former agent, he dealt with a lot of organizations before, a lot of agents. A lot of them don't trust some of the things he's done in the past. A lot of them may have some past history with him. That affects how free agents and people look at the Lakers as well. So I think you're dealing with two sides of it, not just the LeBron effect, but you're dealing with the Rob Pelinka effect coming from, I think, the agency side.
Well, I'm going to take it to a different angle. Like, look, there's always been truth to that. Even when LeBron was in Cleveland, Miami, like, management is going to talk to LeBron and see how he feels about certain moves, right, whether that's a coach or players. But I wrote last week when Magic Johnson relieved himself of his obligations that the Lakers organization...
He relieved himself. We use a synonym.
He wanted to give up his relationship with
But look, I was told that, you know, when they were compiling the list, this was Magic Johnson, Pelinka before he left, they were compiling a list of candidates, Mark Jackson, Tyronn Lue, Monty Williams. And I was told, I wrote this for Yahoo, that Jeannie felt like she didn't want the perception out there that LeBron is running the coaching search, and said that this is a bus-ran organization. So my problem with that is that, look, if Tyronn Lue is the best candidate for the job, bring him on. Right. If you're thinking about perception or optics, you're headed for the destruction, point blank. You shouldn't be worried about those type of things. This is the most pivotal one, the most pivotal junctures in Lakers franchise history. This is not about what it looks like. It's about getting the right guy in, period. And I'm fearful that that might go against what you said as well.
Well, I think that I'm not 1,000% sure that Jeannie Buss and the people whispering in her ear, Rob Pelinka and Kobe Bryant, I'm not sure if those people are 1,000% committed to LeBron. And so if they go with a coach, if the strategy is to go with someone not LeBron approved, maybe that's calling LeBron's bluff. And again, I'm not 1,000% sure LeBron's going to be in a Lakers uniform next season. And so,
Definitely I am. I mean, he checks the box that's necessary. You got to remember, the Lakers, since Dr. Buss, has always wanted to win twofold. They wanted to win on the court, and they wanted to win off the court in terms of showtime and pizzazz. They never wanted to win the Spurs way. Like, they're not even built for that. In part, why you would go and give Kobe that contract at the end of his career, you need meat in the seats. Why do you also get LeBron, even though you know that at the end of this contract, he's probably going to be going downhill? Because he's still box office. Like, LeBron is still going to make sure that the Lakers are the Lakers. They're the premier franchise in basketball, clearly. And this is a 6-year drought. We just destroyed OKC and Westbrook for 3 first-round exits. This is the best franchise in basketball, and they haven't sniffed the playoffs in now 6 years, and they're still the premier brand. They keep LeBron because they need to stay that premier brand.
And I think the relevancy part of it, too, we talked about this before. Young guys don't look at the Lakers as that franchise anymore. I mean, because they just haven't been relevant. So when you're talking about trying to attract a free agent, who is that free agent that right now is like, okay, the Lakers are the best thing for me, okay? Because keep in mind, we're certainly not talking about Kawhi. We know he's not coming. Jimmy Butler, we know that's not going to happen. KD is not going to happen. Maybe Kyrie, maybe Kemba, okay? For AD, you still got to trade in order to get that. So when you start to shrink the pool of free agents that make sense, that really, really can make an impact, the pool shrinks, okay? Unless you make that blockbuster deal with, you know, Anthony Davis, which a lot of league officials didn't want to happen during the course of the season, you're still going to be stuck in that situation where you got young guys with LeBron James, and you got to figure out who that coach is going to be, who that president is going to be.
My contention is, though, I'm not sure if they feel like LeBron is Kareem or Shaq or they may think he's more like Dwight Howard when they acquired him. Mm. Again, is he a guy that can deliver?
But don't forget, when Dwight was leaving, stay D12, hashtag D12, billboards all around L.A. This franchise actually went in and wanted Dwight Howard because they were like, oh, he was injured. So I don't want this to land on LeBron. Covering the Lakers for so many years, this has happened time and time again. That's why we can't name the free agents that come here. So now everyone's going to say, well, we're a little apprehensive to play with LeBron. What's the last 20 years been about for the Lakers?
And even though I don't agree with Whitlock, but for him to have that that thought process just shows you the treasure trove of players that the Lakers have had over the history where they can look at somebody like LeBron James like that and say, hey, you know
they
what?
They had more equity in those players, too. Because they were there for more years. They had more
championships.
No other team would look like
that. It's still Los Angeles. It's still the Lakers. Mm. They're too valuable to the NBA. The NBA will make a way for the Lakers because they need it, with or without LeBron James. Whitlock and Wiley, joined now by Super Bowl champion Chris Canty, making his Speak for Yourself debut. Welcome, Chris.
Appreciate you guys having me on.
My dog.
Let's that move dude, to the
it
NFL.
Took long enough. It did. Look at those hands. You beat up, brother. Good luck.
Let's move to the NFL draft, where Kyler Murray's stock has shot sky high in the last couple of months, with a lot of people expecting him to be the top pick next week. But not everyone is sold on the Heisman winner, with former NFL general manager Scott McLuhan questioning Murray's leadership, explaining, quote, watching Kyler do an interview, it's like, come on, guy, what do you got? Give me something. I'm sure they're trying to train him up, but he's just not a go-getter. Doesn't mean he can't be a good quarterback, just means he's not going to be the guy in the locker room. These comments mirror, I think, who was the guy that got in trouble, the former Redskins, Charlie Casterly's comments about Kyler Murray. And are you buying the reports about concerns? Because there are some people that are saying they were 90% sure the Cardinals were taking him. Now they're down to 60%. You buying it?
Nope, not at all. This is seasonal. I mean, this is what comes at this time. Before you go out there and draft the number one overall pick. These comments are symptoms of success. Once you get up there and you're projected to go high, we're going to beat it up, and then we're going to eat it up. And that's what happens. They beat up these prospects. We've seen the film. That's why they rose to the levels that they did. And then it's time to just hammer them and see if they can sustain it, and then the team goes out there and picks them. It's like human poker that they're playing right now. So I look at them and try to take them at their words in terms of, he doesn't look like a leader, doesn't sound like a leader, doesn't have it in him. Does Eli sound like a leader? He's a great ambassador of our game, and he's won two Super Bowl MVPs. Big Ben a leader, he's won two Super Bowls. Aaron Rodgers has question marks about his leadership. So for every Peyton Manning.
Not 5'10".
Huh?
They're not 5'10".
No, they're not.
They're not 5'10", but we do have two top five quarterbacks that are right around that 6 foot range in Drew Brees and Russell
Wilson.
Leaders. Great leaders. But here's my thing. If Scott McLuhan is basing his opinion off of an interview that you're watching on television, then you're talking out of school. Because you don't know how he relates to the guys in that Oklahoma locker room. You don't know the dynamic between him and Lincoln Riley's relationship.
Lincoln Riley's on record saying he's a different animal than Baker Mayfield as a leader.
Well, you can say he's
That's
a different
good.
Animal. He's a different animal. That doesn't mean he's not as effective as a leader of a football team. Right. It doesn't mean that.
Yeah. I think Lincoln Riley kind of backs up these comments that he's an untraditional leader at the quarterback position. When I hear these comments and what's going on around him, I just think Arizona's trying to work through the problems now before they draft him. And when I hear these comments, I hear, like, the dad is a concern. How involved? Are we going to be the voice that Kyler responds to the most? And I think they're trying to position and work the dad and Kyler before the draft, before they select him, because once you draft him, you got to be all in.
That could be an effective way of doing it, but I don't think that's what's occurring here, because I saw it last year when they were gnawing at the character bone of Baker Mayfield. And then now everyone loves and lauds Baker Mayfield. I think we're going through that same cycle. It's seasonal. Just every time you got somebody up there, you can't let them live in the land of perfection, so you got to beat it up.
Well, here's the thing. You're going to try to do whatever you can as an organization to put as much information out there, because you want to be able to get your guy at your price. And in this situation with the draft, you're talking about draft capital. So I look at this Kyler Murray situation and I say, this could be some posturing by some of the NFL teams that are interested in Kyler, and the Arizona Cardinals putting this out there to see if there's a team that wants to make them an offer that they can't refuse. But when we get to the end of this thing, it's about Steve Keim, their general manager, doing everything that he can to support his new head coach. Because keep in mind, Steve Wilks had a short tenure as the head coach of the Arizona Cardinals.
Yes.
And a lot of people would argue that it wasn't a fair shake.
So, it was.
If you're Steve Keim, you got to make sure that you get this one right with Cliff Kingsbury. And a part of that is getting him the very best quarterback to operate his system. To me, on the surface, it feels like Kyler Murray's skill set is a better fit than Josh Rosen.
And don't these comments kind of support posturing? Like you said, if you're just watching a random interview, when there are million-dollar scouting departments on all 32 NFL teams, and now we're going to reduce that all the way to, well, I just saw the guy on this interview. He didn't look like he gave me much. That's what we're going to put out there.
But again, what I hear, though, and we all believe and we all say it, you're as loyal as your options. Mm-hmm. Kyler Murray has other options. He can go play baseball for a lot of money. And so,
not as much money as he can if he's a franchise quarterback in the NFL.
No question.
It ain't even close.
He has an option. Did you have an option to go play basketball or baseball for a lot of money?
No, I didn't have an option. But I just saw what Russell Wilson got in Seattle.
No
question. A 4-year extension for $140 million. Mm.
And we better hope.
I'll take that over the 14 that the A's were offering.
On top of 8-7 he just got.
Mike Trout would like to have a word with Russell Wilson and anybody in the NFL. The money's out there in Major
League
Baseball.
Well, go ask Dallas Keuchel and Craig Kimbrell. They still sitting out there as free agents. Older players ain't getting paid in baseball, but if you're a 30-something quarterback in the NFL, you're getting paid.
34-year-old Aaron Rodgers.
Elsewhere in the NFL, Russell Wilson's record-setting contract is making waves throughout the league, but apparently they haven't reached Dallas yet. According to Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones, Wilson's new mega deal won't have any impact on the team's contract talks with Dak Prescott, who Jones recently said should take a friendly deal, basically a hometown discount. When I saw Russell Wilson's contract, the first person I thought about was Dak.
You better.
After Sierra.
You didn't think about them chains he was wearing? That taco meat?
I thought about Dak, like, if I'm the Cowboys, does this impact my view of Dak and what I'm going to pay him? And I came to the conclusion, no. I'm not getting this dude anywhere near $30 million a year. He 25 is as far as I want to go with Dak Prescott. I don't blame Stephen Jones and the Cowboys saying, that's a whole different discussion. Those are Super Bowl winners you're talking about. Dak's not.
Yeah, man, this is a public negotiation right now is telling you that, one, they're either feeling resistance, the chest poking of Dak, and they're trying to deflate that, or they're anticipating it. But either way, they're just trying to cut Dak down in terms of expectations right now. It's amazing. They're basically looking at Dak and saying, look, I know you live in that neighborhood, but your comps don't match those comps over there. And Dak could poke his chest out and say, second most wins at the position of any quarterback since I've been in the league. And what does Stephen Jones initially attack? You ain't won a Super Bowl. So all that winning ain't winning enough. And I just know what they're doing. They're sitting at the longest table of negotiations possible, and we're all witnessing it. Dak will not get more money because Russell Wilson got more money. If anything, the minimum salary in the NFL, $16 to $18 million, may get a bump up. But that mid-tier, oh, you're not going to feel the effects of that high rent up there.
Yeah, I think you're hitting the nail on the head. I mean, they're not in the same tier of quarterback in the National Football League. You bring up the real estate analogy. To quote Drake, we in the same building, but we got different views.
Mm-hmm.
Dak Prescott is not the force multiplier that Russell Wilson is.
No finished basement in his house.
No, not at all. Not at all. Not at all. Russell Wilson, the most wins through the first seven seasons in the National Football League, 69 touchdown passes since the start of 2017. And oh, by the way, He got some championship rings. Mm. He got a ring on his finger. He's been in two Super Bowls.
Yep.
Dak Prescott just won his first playoff game last year. So I understand exactly what Dak's argument would be because they have won the division two of the first 3 years, him being a starter in Dallas. But there's a whole lot of other players on that Dallas Cowboys that contribute to winning, more so than other quarterbacks that we're comparing to at the top of the quarterback market.
Let me ask both of y'all this, because who is Stephen Jones really negotiating with? Dak or Dak's agent? Because sometimes that can be two different animals, in my opinion. The agent's ego and his business is caught up in if the perception, you got Dak, what?
Mm-hmm.
In a good way or a bad way. You only got him 22? Don't go there. Mm. It can be used to get, and so he could be negotiating more with the agent than actually Dak.
No, that's a great question, and I don't mean to one-up you or answer a question with a question, but who would the Dallas Cowboys be negotiating against if Dak Prescott was a free agent? That, to me, is a better question because when you look at that situation, I don't think Dak Prescott is as valuable to the 31 other teams than he is to the Dallas Cowboys, because the Dallas Cowboys, based on the composition of their roster and the current contracts they got on the books, it's clear that they're in win-now mode. They got a top five offensive line and defensive line as far as pay scales are concerned with those respective units. You just traded a first-round draft pick for Amari Cooper. You're going to have to pay him. You got the best pure running back in football in Ezekiel Elliott. That bill is going to come due. And you got to pay Jalen Smith and Byron Jones on the defensive side of the ball. And so, so you got to fit all of those contracts in and, oh, by the way, figure out how you can get Dak Prescott's deal under that as well. I'm just looking at it from a situation where Dak has as much help as any other one of those quarterbacks at the top of that position's wage scale. And for me, that's the reason why Dak Prescott has to strongly consider structuring a deal that's team friendly so you can fit all those other contracts, because those other players make your job a lot easier.
Dak's in the worst position possible. We've talked about this before. Dallas Cowboys feel like they're doing Dak a favor. And I never wanted to be in a negotiation where I didn't have leverage. And they're like, you know, you're going to take what we give you because who we are negotiating against. The leverage is not there on your side. And this, you know, two former defensive linemen, imagine when it's your turn as a free agent and you want to stay with your franchise. And you hear your owner and your GM go out there and say, you know what? Oh, really love Chris Canty, but, you know, sacks don't really materialize into wins, so we don't know really how to place a value on him.
Yeah.
Oh, come into my office, Chris. Let's talk about your contract.
Yep.
He's already trying to cut your legs underneath you, and I think that's what's happening.
Fantastic job, Chris. I don't mind being one up.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow the Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.
Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson. Time for my favorite segment. Time to get antisocial. Darnell Smith, social media manager. What you got on?
Where you been pumping, man?
Come on, man.
I saw the picture on the beach.
Summer body.
Got
you. Hey, you see him by the Hollywood sign, that picture?
Yeah, because he was like this. Yeah. Like Baby Hawk.
Right. Oh, you know you're out of towner when you're by the Hollywood sign.
Exactly.
Ain't nobody from LA.
Ain't nobody over there.
First and last time hiking. All right, y'all. We're going to hop straight into it.
McDonald's.
Right. The 20-piece nugget. We're going to get straight into it with the Stanley Cup playoffs. Last night, the number one seed in the East, the Tampa Bay Lightning, who had the league's best record and tied for the most wins in NHL history, was swept by the first round or swept in the first round by AC, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Not only did they get swept by the lowest seed, but they lost to a team that's never won a playoff series in its 19-year history. The Lightning tweeted this message after the game. We don't have any words, and we know you don't want to hear them. We understand your anger, your frustration, your sadness. Everything you're feeling, we get it. This isn't the ending we imagined, and certainly not the one we wanted. Thank you for being there the entire way. Guys, did the Lightning need to apologize for the historic collapse?
Yes. Yes. They set an NHL record with 62 regular season wins and got swept in the first round. Look, if they had gotten beat in the first round 4-3, I get it. They got swept. They got caught with their pants down. Of course they needed to apologize.
I don't apologize for my effort. If I get 100%, you know, with the Vince Lombardi speeches, you leave it all on the field, then, hey, that's all I got. I ain't apologizing for the lack of achievement. We tried. We didn't accomplish.
They choked.
Okay. What
they
did they
came
do?
Out of character.
This only takes me to one place. Is Golden State going to apologize when they get beat by the Clippers? Because it's happening.
I knew it was coming.
How
we
you
get
want
to that?
Them to apologize?
How we get to that?
Swept.
They ain't getting swept. You're right.
I'm going to apologize to Tampa Bay because my good friend, owns the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Okay.
Sorry for that, partner. Sorry for your loss. Get ready for next year. That's all I'm apologizing for.
Jim, I just, there's a name you dropped down here.
John McConnell Jr. is the owner. That's right. My boy. Ooh, so, Junior. Blue Jackets. There we go.
JJ.
All right. Congratulations, Columbus.
Congratulations. All right. Moving on to big money Russell Wilson, whose Instagram video of him and Sierra has gone viral. Whitlock believes he's the coolest cat on the block now. For those of you who haven't seen the video yet, check this out.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
Now, Russ's teammates got together and made their own version of the video. I thought it was pretty hilarious. Take a listen.
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal. Go Hawks.
God, do you think the Legion of Boom would have done this?
That's the best.
That might have been the best.
Nah, that was good natured. So I don't know if the Legion of Boom would have did it. Anytime people are cracking jokes on me, that's a sign of affection to me.
Yeah, exactly. They wouldn't have done this, but Russell wouldn't have done that either if the Legion of Boom was still there. Right. So, you know what I mean? That's just how that locker room played.
Hey, but listen, he became the coolest person in the room when Sierra said yes.
We're
gonna back that thing up. He already won, bro.
Now you wanna take it back? You wanna bring anything back? You still think Russell's video was cool the day after?
Oh yeah. No, I still do.
What was cool Russell, about
who was
it?
Cool? For Russell Wilson. He was trying to be cool.
They were trying to be
trying.
It wasn't even natural.
Look, man. Look, Jim, I told you this.
Check it out.
I told Marcellus yesterday. He said, have my money on April 15th.
He had his money. Hawks better have my money.
On tax day. On tax day. Run that checkbook.
All right, it's time now for Darnell's question of the day.
It ain't nothing like
take it away.
All right, Will, so the other day you were talking about the 76ers cell phone incident, and it made me think, if you guys had to choose, would you rather have everything in your phone made public, pictures, text, search history, or never be able to use your phone again?
Well, I literally thought about this for a day, and I would rather have my phone exposed because nothing in my phone would be surprising. Now, look, it wouldn't be surprising. It wouldn't be surprising.
It'd be explicit, but not surprising. It'd be like, ooh, what rating is this?
It would just confirm everything you already think.
Right.
So,
you know what?
I'd rather have that.
This was a tough one, but then it got really easy because I lived half my life without a phone, a cell phone, you know? So if you force me, and I'm a married man, a good man, shout out to my wife, happy birthday. Hey, baby. Hey, you know what? You can expose my phone, but since I lived without a phone before, I'll take that option.
Great answer, Marcel.
Great answer. Great married answer.
Great married answer. Since I'm single, listen. I ain't giving up my phone. You're not checking nothing on my phone. And you know why? Because in that question, it said, would you give up your phone? Yeah, I'm going to give it up. Because I'm going to transfer over to my iPad and do WhatsApp. I'm going to do all the other stuff. So you can take my phone and use it, but you're not getting the pictures. You're not getting nothing on there.
Did y'all hear that, though? He said WhatsApp. He an international
player.
We got that free text.
It's other forms of ways to communicate besides your phone.
Man.
He got a backup.
Ready.
Let me just say this. I got WhatsApp. Jimmy's telling on himself, but I really can't talk about it here on air.
Come on,
there's reasons to have WhatsApp.
It is national reason.
It is national.
Talk about it during the commercial, bro.
Jim Jackson and Chris Haynes are back. Let's move to Kevin Durant, who hasn't had a great playoff so far, getting ejected in game one against the Clippers, and then struggling through game two's epic collapse before fouling out. Well, KD's struggles haven't gone unnoticed, including by Draymond Green's mother, who retweeted several negative tweets about Durant, taking aim at his turnovers and the fact Patrick Beverley is in his head. Question here is, has KD created a toxic environment in Golden State or with the Warriors? There's just a lot of noise around KD, including Draymond's mom. I think his free agency deal has created some drama, and unnecessary drama around Golden State. And so, I think to some degree, he's turning into a little bit of a baby LeBron. He started the toxic environment comments, and now they're coming home to roost.
I'm going to keep it 100, but Y'all ain't gonna have me up here talking about Mama Green. That ain't happening. If y'all know her, nah, you're gonna feel that wrath. But here's the truth of it. It's not on KD. It's interesting the mindset of the Golden State Warriors works for them, and in this moment, works against them. This is a team that realized after winning 73 wins in a regular season that that doesn't necessarily matter. Steve Kerr is a coach who tells everyone, know how to apply your foot on the gas and when to, and when does it matter most. And I think this whole team as a collective realized that. Okay, let's get our seeding. It could be one, it could be two, but let's get our seeding, and then let's go out there and get this, hit that switch, right? But what happens when a Steve Kerr comes out and criticizes his own team, and even Durant took exception before? Y'all look a little disinterested. Y'all not competing. Y'all not into it. You know why? Idle time is the devil's workplace. And when this team is not locked in, guess what they start wondering about? Hey, man, your contract up at the end of the year. What's going on with that? They couldn't make it in the NFL because every single person on that field, their contract is up in that moment. And then in the NBA, this dude still is running with y'all, giving y'all buckets, still a part of the team. And all you could think about is 1 foot in, 1 foot out. To me, this is like the culture of this team, where they apply pressure when needed, but when they don't, they're curious about the wrong things. Let KD be a part of this team until he's not.
I love Mary Babers because that's Draymond Green's mom. She tells it like it is, and unlike other family members who, if they have a son or a close relative that's in the NBA, they'll shy away from giving their thoughts on social media. No, not her. If you go through her list, go through her timeline, she criticized KD, Steph, she going her son, Draymond. Like, she doesn't hold anything back from anyone. Mm. But with all that being said, going back to KD, it's like, you know, the whole Draymond Green, KD was actually founded right here in Los Angeles playing against the Clippers when they had that brush up. Mm-hmm. And, it, you know, a part of that back and forth exchange was about the future and about the contract situation, what's going on. And so I wouldn't say it's developed into a toxic situation here with Golden State, but I will say that before all this, Golden State was that fun-loving, happy-go-lucky, like, what's Michael Jackson's home?
Neverland.
Well, you ain't right. Never go to Neverland.
The perception of what Neverland was before.
Yeah, the old Neverland.
Just take that out. Just take that out.
We don't lie to you.
We don't lie to you. You can't take it out. Leave that alone, too. Don't bring that back up. But I had the fortune of covering two games at Golden State this year. It was the Boston game when they got beat bad, but it was also they came back and beat Denver. And just around the environment, talking to Steve Kerr, to me, the biggest challenge with this team, and it was eventually going to happen at some point, is complacency. Mm-hmm. You've won so much. How do you get up for each and every game? You got different personalities, different agendas. You know, as you know, too, and we heard this, guys started to tire out a little bit of the antics of Draymond Green and what was going on. So it's a lot of stuff feeding into what's going on with KD, what's going on with Draymond. Even sometimes, look at the body language of Klay Thompson, okay? A lot of stuff. Steve Kerr and talk to him at times. He's great with the media in deferring stuff, but there's some internal stuff going on, the challenges he has to get this team ready to play each and every, because it's hard to motivate yourself when you won as much as they have, even trying to compete for a championship. Mm-hmm. And all of that bundled together is giving you why there's so much friction going on along with KD and what's going to happen with his free agency year.
I look at Kendrick Perkins had some comments where he said, me and KD are tight. And then he goes on to share a private conversation that he and KD had. And he's, you know, I asked him about free agency in New York next year, and KD kind of got in his feelings. And again, I go back to Kevin Durant's comments months ago about the environment around LeBron, and it's the same thing. There's so much conversation around KD, so much gossip and rumor that it can become a distraction and an issue in a locker room. And look, I think Draymond Green's mother is, again, just like you said, she's outspoken. And to me, these type of comments in the middle of a game say, this problem with her son and Kevin Durant isn't totally squashed.
Well, look, I mean, a dream could disturb a fantasy, and that's what they used to live in. As you said, the Golden Age, the fantasy of Golden State. It was perfect. It was utopia. Why? You had Steph at first.
Utopia, that's what I need to know.
Yeah. Not Neverland. Utopia, that's what Michael should have built that. So Steph with the ankle issues and the contract that was undervalued and he outplayed it and he finally got his reward. Clay, are you really a 1A if you leave here? So therefore, you're going to be happy here. Draymond, you great with us. Are you great without us? So everybody was happy in their roles. And in part, they were being suppressed. And they were like, this is great as a collective. We play greater than the sum of our parts. Mm-hmm. Then you enter KD into the picture. Expectations get even higher. And then all of a sudden, you want to keep that same feeling. But KD is not built like that. KD has never been undervalued. KD's always been the guy that's going to go get it. It just changed everything. So I think the complexion of this franchise changed. And now we're seeing the symptoms
great
of it.
Point.
All right, before we go, I'd like to say a word or two about Russian basketball superstar Breanna Stewart. She tragically tore her Achilles in the EuroLeague championship game Sunday night. Here in America, where we don't support or even care about women's professional basketball, the Russian superstar's injury is somehow being spun as a tragedy for the WNBA, a charity league used as a tax write-off by the NBA. ESPN's Katie Barnes tweeted, "Injuries happen in sports. But Breanna Stewart's happening 1 month before the WNBA season starts because she's playing overseas for a team that definitely pays her more is a bitter pill to swallow. She, along with a handful of other young stars, are the future of the W. Pay them." This is some real twisted logic. Stewart, arguably the best female basketball player in the world, earned $60,000 playing in the trash league that we ignore. She earns between $300,000 to $500,000 playing in the EuroLeague. Wouldn't the real tragedy be Stewart getting hurt, farting around in the WNBA and missing the EuroLeague season? I get it that Stewart was born here in America and starred at UConn as an amateur, but she's a professional star in Europe. They care about and support women's professional basketball in Europe. Stewart is the EuroLeague's Luka Doncic, the 20-year-old from Slovenia who left his home country to chase basketball stardom here in America. It would be a tragedy if Doncic injured himself playing in his homeland and missed the NBA season. I guess I shouldn't be surprised that the blue-check global citizen crowd can't comprehend the basic tenets of supply and demand capitalism. But I thought that crowd loved soccer. For years, American male soccer stars have been taking their talents to Europe in pursuit of fame and fortune. America has a long history of being indifferent towards soccer. Anyone remember when Stuart Holden injured his knee playing in the Premier League in 2011? He was never the same player after. Let's stop with this silly notion that the NBA should increase its charitable donation to the WNBA for no other reason than the woke movement has decided it's a shame American female basketball players can't earn millions at home. The WNBA season is just 4 months. How many of you watching at home earn $60,000 for 4 months of work? Breanna Stewart is no victim. She's no different from the male athletes who earn modest salaries in the infancy of American professional basketball, football, and baseball. The only difference is Dick Butkus couldn't spend his NFL offseason playing football in Europe for $500,000. All right, welcome back. Whitlock and Wiley, Jim Jackson and Chris Haynes are back. Let's move to Zion Williamson, who officially declared for the NBA draft earlier this week, with most people assuming he's a lock to go number one overall. But not everyone is completely sold on Zion's skill set, with one anonymous NBA All-Star saying the Duke star is a great talent, but that he, quote, won't be able to just rely on his athleticism in the NBA. I've heard others say this, and I hear the big superstar, the next big thing is coming to the NBA, and I hear a little of this as jealousy.
I don't think it's jealousy. In boat culture, as they call it, you ever on a boat, on a yacht, anybody? Whatever. Mm-hmm. You know what it is. It's open door. Like, you know what? If you qualify to have one of these, come on board. Everybody. We're not jealous because we all got something in this. We all qualify to be athletes, professional athletes. I don't think there's jealousy because there's enough money and opportunities to go around. What I see from this is the same thing we talked about before in terms of potential. It's easy to beat up potential. When you talk about a Kyler Murray or now a Zion Williamson, you can beat up potential, because they can't fight back. But production will. And when he gets to the NBA, he can silence these critics. But this is just a time of year where you beat up somebody as a prospect until you see what they are truly as a player.
Look, does he have has holes in his games? Yes. Like, is his weight a concern? Yes. But if you look at the landscape of the NBA, how the game is so fast-paced and we're moving up and down the court at a rapid pace, his game translate over. Because you're talking about transition buckets, you're talking about highlights, you're talking about lobs, that's Zion Williamson. Now, with all that being said, I equate his game to Ben Simmons. Different players. Is that people want to say, well, he's not going to be that great. Well, I think he might end up being a star. Ben Simmons made the All-Star team last year. Mm-hmm. Does he have a major hole in his game? Yes, he can't shoot. So that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to be a bust. You know, I think people are comparing him to superstar level like LeBron or KD. Maybe that's out of question. Maybe. I don't know. But I think he's going to be okay. And you can't knock the holes or the lack of that he doesn't have a sound position. You can't let that deter you from thinking if he's going to be a star. Now.
Here's my thing, though. Watching Zion play, when somebody says that he can't just rely on his athleticism at the next level, that means you haven't watched him play.
Thank you.
Because he does so much more than just jump out the gym. Do you see that crossover to get to the basket at 6'8", 285? The passes inside, all these things first that he step. Does, the first step, all these little things, the post moves that will be refined once he gets to the NBA. Everybody comes into the NBA with a flaw. I don't care who you are. Everybody does. Keep in mind, my comparison, too, also is like a Blake Griffin coming out of Oklahoma. Okay? Blake has a few more inches on him. Super athletic. They talked about his ability to transfer that over to the NBA. Okay? But what he has over Blake is his ability to really be tricky with it and get to the basket and make plays. Blake started to develop that a little bit later once he was in the NBA. So for me, this young man, if you really watch his body of work and how he played the game, he was so much more than just a high-flying athlete, highly intelligent, unselfish.
Coachable.
Because he had a great coach.
He's a talent.
And
he's mature.
Talented, and he wants to win.
Plays with a lot of energy
that
I think is going to overwhelm the NBA, the load management league. This kid won't be load managing through anything. He's going to, his energy and effort, and again, and his skill, he can put it on the floor and get to the hole in his first step. I do hear a little, just a tinge of jealousy, and I don't know who this NBA All-Star is, but when LeBron's on his way out and everybody, the next big thing is Zion, trust me, there's some guys in the NBA like, no, I'm the next big thing.
Big time.
Trust me, that's why I hear a little jealousy. Uncle Jimmy's here.
Damn right I'm here.
Are you giving yourself the Big Dummy of the Day award with that outfit?
That fit on.
Hey, boy, you know what? Don't hate. Congratulate, doggone it. That's what's happening today.
Is that what happens to our quads?
That's what's happening. Let's go on and get on with it, man. Time is money.
Who's the big dummy of the day, dummy?
You the big dummy of the day. Said they've been thinking somebody want to look in your phone. talking about you used to be a swimsuit model. Might be some selfies in there. Here, I left my phone. Man, nobody want to see that.
Nobody.
Get on out of here with booger. That mess, man.
Here's a highlight from our discussion earlier about Russell Westbrook. The human stat sheet is a big spoiled baby refusing to grow up. I defended him for 2 years after Durant bolted. I'm done.
Could he be a better player? I'm sure he could get higher in the top 10 rankings, but there are 450 dudes in the NBA, man. And there's 440 dudes out there who need to do a lot more.
All right, Uncle Jimmy.
Catch Westbrook first.
Uncle Jimmy, I got a serious question for you. What your take on our debate about Russell Westbrook?
First of all, let me explain something to you. I don't do this too many times, but I know Russell Westbrook. I know the family personally. I've actually been what you consider a mentor to Russell.
We've discovered the problem. Go ahead.
Okay, well, as I said, Mr. Funny Man, you know, and even in my conversation with Russell, nobody has ever used the word Russell Westbrook and smart in the same sentence.
Stupid.
So you said that every time, he need to be smart. Hey, if he was smart, his ass would have never signed in Oklahoma to begin with. Wasn't James Harden, didn't he used to be in Oklahoma?
Yeah.
What the hell he do?
Go.
Didn't Kevin Durant used to be in Oklahoma?
Yep.
What happened to him?
Dipset.
Didn't Wayman Teasdale used to be in Oklahoma?
Hey, man.
Huh? Victor Oladipo?
Wayman Teasdale has passed.
Okay. Oh, well, did we, look at the level he stooped through to get out. That's all I'm sitting and telling you, man.
No.
You know, y'all sitting up here, man, y'all hating on Westbrook, man. Y'all little fellas like y'all, man, y'all can't even appreciate what Russ go through to hit a triple-double. That's what's wrong with you, little young boy. Y'all can't even appreciate the work that it go into for a triple-double. Mm. See that? He came to Uncle Jimmy. I say, boy, if you're going to keep up with that triple-double, listen to me, one piece of advice. You got to work on your load management. You understand what I'm saying? He work on his load management, then he can do it. See, a triple-double, triple-double's when you got two women at the same time. And then they just double up on you. That's a triple-double.
Triple XL and double.
Hey, Uncle Jimmy, they say that I've been padding my stats for a while because I've been able to keep that streak going. You understand what I'm saying?
No.
No.
Don't hate. Congratulate.
No, look, at the end of the day, he's got to play a smarter game of basketball. That was my whole argument and contention. It can't be all heart. You got to play with your head as well.
So why ain't you ever done one about Chris Paul?
Uh-oh. Where's that going?
What? How many championships he got?
Don't do this. Donut.
He play hard. He got all his little commercials.
He play smart,
too. He play smart,
though,
too.
He play smart.
But what that smart done got him? He got him a ring?
Messy.
Ding, 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 ding.
It might get him one this year.
Ooh.
It might get him one this year.
Ooh, oh, what, he got some new hamstrings? Cause last time I seen Chris Paul, he like.
You ain't right.
Huh? Come on now.
Well, yeah. A lot of greats.
You gonna get off my boy. Mm-hmm. Cause I'm gonna tell you, you keep talking to him, I'm gonna tell you right now, I resemble that remark, young man.
You what?
I resemble that remark.
Yeah, you need to grow up and mature just like Russell Westbrook, yes.
Well, you know what you need? You need to slim down and do something else, too. When you done some hard work that didn't involve a spoon and a fork, you sitting up here passing judgment.
All right. Damn. Time to get to our approval rating. Westbrook has really dipped for me. Job performance, 8. All-time greatness, 19.
Oh, my. 8?
Character, 10.
8?
I raised him up in authenticity. Marcellus.
Yes, sir, sir. Yes, sir.
The guy went 5 of 20 last night. 8 job performance.
Wow.
A 55 total. He's hovering around scout team level, but I still have him as a role player.
Cut him.
He was a rebound away from a triple-double, but Coach going to be like, you an 8. You barely on the squad.
He went 5 of 20 with 6 turnovers and said it was his fault he lost, and you got him at an 18 job performance.
Yeah, because he's still great. He still has impact. And sometimes it's not always going to show up on the stat sheet, but you have impact. Look, he got to shoot better. Duh. But at the same time, you got to keep shooting to shoot better. So I'm not going to take him down that far.
That's offensive lineman saying he's got a block. Of course, that's basketball. He's got to hit basketball.
Hey, I'm just telling you what the shooters say. all-time status can't change that. How you change his all-time status? His Wikipedia changed after last night? Are you really going that far? His character authenticity goes up all the way because he takes ownership, even in his
ownership. I dropped the all-time greatness because I'm over the triple
ball. Allen Iverson played hard.
Hey, college football fans, Joel Klatt here. And over on my podcast, The Joel Klatt Show, we discuss the best teams, players, and storylines in all of college football. Any questions? Then send them in to the Joel Klatt Show mailbag, and I'll answer them. Tap the banner to follow The Joel Klatt Show on Spotify.